The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hand in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Jewish leaders had said to Pilate, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate had authorized them to take whatever precautions they wanted. But in spite of this, on the third day, the tomb was emptied. Jesus' body was gone. What would the Jewish leaders do? In their shoes, what would you have done? Find his disciples. The disciples had good reason to hide themselves behind locked doors. The ones who had taken their teacher away, who had handed him over to the Romans, who had demanded his crucifixion, would be searching for the disciples. But it wasn't the Jewish leaders who found them on that evening of the first Easter, confused and afraid, huddled together in a locked room. Suddenly, without warning, in their midst was Jesus. John doesn't describe the disciples' reaction, their fear of the Jews, the suddenness of Jesus' appearance, and all the events of the previous days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the quiet of Saturday, and then Easter itself that day, make it likely that it was not with unmitigated joy that they saw Jesus. Fear, confusion, shame, and doubt might all have been present, but John focuses our attention on Jesus. He says, "Peace be with you." And in his saying, "Peace," he gives them peace. Peace, he said. The Hebrew word is shalom. It's an important term, richer than our English word peace. It means wholeness, harmony, everything as it ought to be. From the mouth of the Lord, it is an absolution. Jesus had reason to be disappointed with his disciples, frustrated, even angry. All of them had abandoned him. Peter had denied him 3 times. But in this greeting, "Peace be with you," all is forgiven. We practice an extension of this in the divine service. When we greet one another with the peace of the Lord following the prayer of the church, we are saying that we hold nothing against one another, that we are reconciled with one another, that we forgive as we have been freely forgiven. We hear these same words as from the Lord himself before the supper. After his words concerning the bread and cup have been spoken, I elevate them and intone, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." It is as if you were in that room with the disciples. In accordance with his promise, the Lord himself truly present in our midst, in his body and his blood, repeats his greeting of peace to you and to me. And so in gratitude and joy we respond, "Amen," which is to say, "Your peace is with us." "Peace be with you," the Lord said. And then he showed them his hands and his side. With these there could be no mistaking who he was. His hands pierced by the nails with which he was crucified. His side, from which the blood and the water had flown out, pierced by a spear in the hand of a Roman soldier. The wounds in his hand and side proved that he was Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified and now was alive, risen from the dead. But these wounds were more than mere marks that confirmed his identity. These wounds are the basis of the peace which he speaks and gives. From Jesus' wounds come your forgiveness, your life, your salvation. For he was wounded for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought you peace. And with his stripes, you are healed. These wounds are the marks of Jesus' suffering and death. The suffering and death by which he reconciled the world to God. The water and the blood that flowed from Jesus' pierced side gave evidence that he was truly dead. But the water and the blood are also sacramental signs. They testify that from his death flows water to the font of your baptism, and blood to the chalice that touches your lips. All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, St. Paul tells us. In the supper, we receive his blood of the covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Water and blood, baptism and supper, together with the Spirit, these three testify to Jesus' death for you, that God has given you eternal life, life that is in his Son, his word bestowing peace, his wounds in hands and side. With these, the Lord revealed himself to his disciples, and they were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Faith never tires of hearing this message, of receiving this gift. But Jesus gives even more. He makes these men gathered in the locked room his ambassadors, sends them out in his name, even as the Father had sent Jesus, and Jesus acted in the Father's name. Then he breathed on them, our text says. More literally, he blew into them. The significance of this is made clear by his words, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The breath of God which gave life to Adam. The Spirit of the Lord which enlivened the dry bones in Ezekiel's vision. This the risen Jesus gives to his disciples, gives with the instruction and the assurance, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." There's an interesting variation in the New Testament manuscripts with respect to the tense of the verb in this verse. If one were to take each of the variations that exist into account, it would have Jesus say, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they have been forgiven. They are forgiven, and they will be forgiven, past, present, and future." Taken together, these variations of the tense of the verb proclaim a glorious truth. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they have been forgiven. Done to death on Calvary's cross. There's nothing more to add when Jesus has said, "It is finished." But it's also true. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. As we say in the Catechism, we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it, that is, by the absolution spoken by the pastor, by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. And even more, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they will be forgiven. On the last day, Judgment Day, when Jesus returns and judges the living and the dead, then the word of forgiveness Jesus sends his disciples out to proclaim holds. It's true yesterday and today and forever. Words that give peace, wounds that testify to your redemption, the Holy Spirit to give those he was sending out authority to forgive, and all of these to create and sustain faith which brings life forever with Christ. But poor Thomas, he missed it all. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared. And though the others assured them, "We have seen the Lord," and told him of Jesus' holy hands and of his wounded side, Thomas insisted he would never believe unless he saw for himself and put his fingers into the holes where the nails had pierced Jesus' hands, and the wound left by the spear that had pierced his side. So then, on the eighth day, a week after that first Easter evening, suddenly and without warning, Jesus appeared in that locked room again, this time with Thomas present. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And then, as he had a week earlier with the others, he showed Thomas his hands and his side. And then he invited Thomas to inspect him and called him from unbelief to faith. Whether Thomas actually touched Jesus, John doesn't say. He reports that at Jesus' word, Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." He was a skeptic no more. He believed. By his word and by his presence, Jesus had turned Thomas around, turned him from unbelief to belief. As Jesus came to his frightened, confused, and despairing disciples to bring them peace, assurance of their redemption, to forgive them and give them life, so he still comes in the divine service with those same gifts. In his place and by his command, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." His word, the testimony of his life and his death for you and for your salvation, is proclaimed from the altar with Jesus really present in the bread and the wine, his true body and his blood. He addresses you. "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And then you receive him in your mouth and on your lips. He who gave himself into death for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. And then finally, at the close of worship, his name is again put on you, as it was when you were baptized, that you may have peace. For that's what happens when his words are spoken. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace." May it be to you according to his word. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.